With that, let's get started into our lesson for today. Let's go to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. And you might say, well, Mike, I'm not very familiar with my Bible. Where is 1 Peter? If you go towards the back of your Bible, if you find Hebrews, Hebrews is a very large book, 13 chapters. Go a couple books to the right. You'll go to James and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I am going to read the first five verses of 1 Peter. Or I could say this, if you find 2 Peter, it's one book to the left. So you could do that too. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you have your places in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read. And I make this offer quite often. If you do not have your own personal Bible and you would like one, please tell me. I'll buy you one. I would love for you to have your own Bible, and I will personally buy you your own Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Let's pray. Father, as we read and digest these five verses from your word, Father, what are the truths that we need to learn from this? And how do we respond? And what do we learn? So, Father, may we all be in a learning mode here this morning, where we can all learn more about the truths from these short five verses from your word today, that we can walk out of here knowing a little bit more about your word than what we did when we arrived. We give you the praise and glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Two weeks ago, we ended our journey through the New Testament in 2019 as we read the entire New Testament in our daily reading. And today, today I'm going to kind of kick off 2020. I'm going to go back to preaching in sermon series, which is what I normally do all the time. And I'm going to call this first series that we're going to do Shepherd the Flock. That's the name of this series. But the specific message today is going to be Elder Responsibilities. If we go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, those verses right there are a direct command to me, especially the first four verses, a direct command to me. I am the elder of this flock here at Beech Grove Christian Church. So what is it that I must do? Not should do. What is it that I must do? Well, all of us sitting in here might have different Bible translations. And each translation uses one of a couple different words that are used. The NIV says to shepherd the flock. The King James Version says that I need to feed the flock. The American Standard Version says that I need to tend the flock. The Contemporary English Version says that I need to watch over the flock. And the New Living Translation says that I need to care for the flock. They all pretty much mean the same thing, but for the sake of this series, I'm going to just stick with what the NIV says, to shepherd the flock, because I believe the word shepherd encompasses all the other words that are written up there. So what does it mean to shepherd the flock? Well, let's define the word shepherd. And you have the definitions on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. The Webster defines the verb to shepherd as to guide or to guard in the manner of a shepherd. So it is my responsibility to guide you and to guard you spiritually, and when possible, to guide you and guard you physically. And we will talk about that in later weeks, what both of those mean. But for today, I want everyone in here to know and understand the responsibilities and the importance of the man who is leading your church. And in this case, that would be me. The questions that need to be asked are, is he leading? Am I leading this church according to biblical standards? Every pastor should be put to this test. And I ask this question with all sincerity because we all know that there are too many pastors, there are too many churches, there are too many denominations who are following the world more than they are following the Word. Just the difference the letter L makes. The world versus the Word. And also with this message and with this series, I challenge each and every person in here to put me to the test too. Because these verses are talking about what I must be doing. And in this series, I might be interchanging the term elder with pastoral ministry because they are very much interchangeable. And these verses here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, are describing who is overseeing a church. Who is the overseer of a church? So let's look at these five verses. Let's exposit this is what we say. And let's look at the qualities of an elder, this shepherd, and what this person must be doing. We have five fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go through those. And all five of these are going to be pretty much right from the text. Verse number one, a man serves as an elder, not because he must, but because he is willing. And that's exactly what the text says. Listen, not everybody that is in pastoral ministry should be in pastoral ministry. Amen. Not everyone who is in pastoral ministry should be in pastoral ministry. Pastoral ministry is a calling. It is not a job. And it is not for anyone and everyone, although some people think that it is. Just because the person has the title of pastor does not mean that they are qualified or that they meet the biblical expectations of that position. So building on that, he must be willing, not because he must. I got to fill in the blank number two, and I say this. A man who moves into pastoral ministry with hesitation or reluctance should not be in that position. And that gets back to what it said earlier about that person, not because he must, and some people feel like they must do that. These individuals find themselves in a position in pastoral ministry because here's one example, because there's a vacancy in that position and they feel obligated that they must jump in and serve in that position because they just feel like they must do it. Somebody must do it. Well, it says don't do it because you must do it. Do it because you're willing to do it. But quite often, they do so. They jump into these positions because no one else wants to do it. And they can't find anybody else to do it. They don't even want to do it. They do it because they must do it, not because they're willing to do it. And they become hesitant and they become reluctant to do it. And inwardly, they find themselves really not willing to step up and serve in this position. It becomes a struggle more than it becomes, and a burden for them more than it becomes something that they enjoy doing. Some of these people really don't even want to get out of bed on a Sunday morning. Well, if you are not willing, or there's the slightest bit of hesitation or reluctance, do not put yourself in the position or responsibility of pastoral ministry or being an elder in a church. It's not that we not must do it. It's because we are willing to do so. So if there's a hesitation or reluctance, don't step up. It's really that simple. God will provide. We got to know that. Number three, the third fill in the blank. There are some who move into pastoral ministry but are not willing to serve. Ooh, how does this pan out? Well, verse 2 says this, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. It says that an elder or a pastor, an overseer, must be eager to serve in that position. This position often requires self-sacrifice. The health of the church and the body of believers outweighs my own or one's own personal agenda. These people who are not willing to serve, they want all the other perks of the position, but they do not want to be bothered with you, the flock, and with the other affairs of the church. They like being the master and the leader of a church, but they don't like being a servant of the church, which leads to our next point. So they must be willing, they must be eager to serve. So what's our next fill in the blank? Now we get a little more in depth here. There are some who move into pastoral ministry because they like to usurp their authority over others. They like to be in charge. Verse 3 tells us that they're not lording it over those entrusted to you. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. There are those who love power and they love authority. They don't have it at home. They don't have it at work. But they sure would love to have it at church. They work their way into positions of church leadership, and then very subtly, they demand that the church be run according to their authority and according to their standards. Why? Because they love power. They love to control other people, and they want things their way. So how do they do this? How do they do this authority thing? Well, many justify their ungodly actions by thinking that because, does this sound familiar? Because they give a lot of money to the church, that they should have more of a say-so about what happens in the church. Now, let me stop right there. That does not happen here at Beech Grove Church, okay? Let's just get that for the record. That does not happen. But there are people in other churches who give a lot of money, and because they do, they think they should have the power and authority over everybody else. Shame on these people. Money should never, ever, ever be used to buy power and authority in a church. And if you don't believe me, just go back and ask Simon the sorcerer from Acts chapter 8 and see what happened to him when he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. Answer, it didn't work out very well for Simon. Many years ago, my son Corey came to me, and we were having a very serious conversation about church because at that point in time, many years ago, he was considering the possibility of pastoral ministry. And we talked about the interview process and the questions that might be asked of him and the questions that he should be asking them. And I told him to ask this one question, if he ever gets into an interview, ask this one question of the church board who's interviewing him. And I said this, and I quote, "Who are the people in this church who believe that they own and run this church because of the money that they give?" I think that's a fair question. Because I would say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are plenty of churches out there, Beech Grove not being one of them, where people give money so they can control the church. I believe it to be a fair question. And I told him, I says, if no one answers the question, or they just stare and look at each other, then there's probably someone in that church who is in that position, and they want to lord it over others because they want to be in authority and have the power. And folks, there's no place for that for anyone, even myself, like that, to be in a church where we do it just strictly for the sake of authority. Let's go to our fifth and final fill in the blank. We've covered some pretty good ground here. Number five, there are some who move into pastoral ministry for dishonest gain. It says it right there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, the second part of that verse, the B part. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain. There it is. There's the words. Not pursuing dishonest gain. If you have a King James Version Bible, I love the words that are used in the King James Version Bible. It says, don't do it for filthy lucre. Oh, I love that. Filthy lucre. Doesn't that sound evil? Don't do it for filthy lucre. There's just something about those words that I like. But the NIV uses dishonest gain. I like filthy lucre. It sounds more mean and menacing. And this must have been as big an issue then as what it is today. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, the second epistle that Peter writes, and remember, he wrote this 2,000 years ago, he writes this about false teachers who are infiltrating the church. And he says this in verse number 3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Verse 3. In what? In their greed. In their greed. That's the motivation for some to become elders. Greed, the motivation for some to become pastors, to become leaders of the church, for greed, for money, for dishonest gain, for filthy lucre. And folks, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. How many people are in the position of pastoral ministry today, or as a paid leader in a church of in some capacity, who do it strictly for the money? Let me answer that for you. Many. Many. According to the website, www.salary.com, the average salary of a Protestant pastor as of November 25th, 2019 is, ready? $96,644 per year. You don't think that that figure won't drive some individuals who know nothing about the Word of God to be willing to serve a church so they can make $100K a year? Trust me, they're out there and they're doing it and they're leading people down a path of destruction. And the undiscerning sheep don't know the difference because they go into the church and they make them feel good about whatever and whoever they are. I know I've shared this story with you many times, and I'm going to share it one more time. The 1988 graduating class of Duke Theological Seminary was asked this question: why they wanted to be pastors. 25% of them said they desired this position because it was two things: a secure position with great pay. Secure position, great pay. 31 years ago, I guarantee that number has gone up. Secure position, great pay. Hey, just get into the ministry. Just get in a church, satisfy the people. Just do whatever they want you to do. Make some good money, pacify them, speak whatever you want, and they'll continue to show up. And the more you tickle their ears, the more money that they'll give. Hey, I got this down. And they're doing it, folks, for dishonest gain, and shame on those individuals. And they are out there. They are. A secure with position with great pay. And that says it all. No, doesn't it? It says it all. Obviously, they never preach from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now, do they? Because they'd be telling on themselves. And then there are those who enjoy dishonest gain by feeding off the poor, by feeding off the desperate, by feeding off the unsuspecting, by feeding off the gullible, promising them health, promising them wealth, promising them prosperity. If they would just send and sow their seed money into their ministry. And we all know that God must run certain blessing specials, because they tell me that if I send a certain amount of money by a certain time, I will get double blessed. Boy, I'm glad that's the way God works, aren't you? That if I send my money to this ministry, he will double bless me in this. But only if I send, you know, $66.03, because let's go back to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3, and that's where they get this from. Come on, people. I'm going to say it. Don't be so gullible with these charlatans on TV. Hopefully you're not. Oh, and credit cards are accepted over the phone. Of course. Of course. People, the entire health, wealth, prosperity, and word faith movement is nothing more than great example of Scripture's warning of people who do such things for dishonest gain. It's really that simple. No, Beach Grove, church board, chairman of the board, no, I don't want a raise. You guys pay me way too much as it is already. I will never demand a raise, and I never have, and I never will. I don't care what I get paid here, okay? I don't care. I don't do it for the money. I do it because I've been called to do it. And that's why people in this position do it. I'm convinced that I have been called to do pastoral ministry, and I am convinced that I have been called to do pastoral ministry here at Beach Grove Church. And trust me, if you haven't already figured it out, I love being here on a Sunday morning. Somehow, God in his divine providence and sovereignty connected the dots of my life here at the Beach Grove Church. I know he has a plan and he has a purpose. And that plan and that purpose for me and for all of us is far beyond whatever I could ever see or whatever I could ever comprehend. And that's what I like about it. That's what I like about it. So, there we have a few reasons why probably some people shouldn't be in pastoral ministry. Next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday of 2020. And we're going to continue this series, and we're going to take a closer look at pretty much our specific church here, Beach Grove Church, and what it means for me as your pastor here to guide you and to guard you both spiritually and physically. And I'm going to share with you where we have been in the past 12 years since I have been here, and where I plan on shepherding this flock in 2020. And I'll kind of give it away. It's not going to be any different than what we did the last 12 years, okay? This is a one-trick pony, folks. We do the same thing pretty much week after week. But I know this. I love being here. And if you ever see me, folks, put me to the challenge, okay? If you ever see me abuse any of these things that I've written up here, bring it to my attention. Because you have every right to challenge me and correct me when I'm not doing things according to the Word of God. Amen? We good with that? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.